Hey, welcome to the Locked On Cavs podcast. I'm Chris Manning. That is Evan Damrell. On today's show, we're going to look back at the Cavs Magic game. And we're going to talk about if we're hot or cold, on a few different Cavs players today. That's going to be Moses Brown and Lauri Markkanen. Let's get into it.
Cavs need a three. Sexton works on Irving, trying to get loose. He'll fire. He knocks it down. Ground. Here goes Okoro to the bucket. And oh my, Okoro throws it down. 10 seconds to go. Here comes Colin Sexton. Sexton chased by Hill. Off to Stevens. Oh my. 45 ticks to go. That shot is blocked by Nance.
Get that weak stuff out of here.
Prince knocks down that Harden pass. Garland's there. Garland upstairs for Allen. Oh, look out.
There you go. That's called team ball right there.
Welcome to the Locked On Cavs podcast, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm Chris Manning. That is Evan Damrell. I cover the Cavs primarily for Fear the Sword and Diamond Up Rocks. Evan is at Fear the Sword, but also Facebook's right down Euclid, which you can subscribe to today. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Check out prizepicks.com. Use the promo code NBA or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. On today's show, we're going to look back at Cavs Magic. We know the schedule's been a little funky this week, but we're coming in hot here. And then we're going to look at some hot or cold on some different players. Today is going to be Moses Brown in segment two. And in segment three, that's going to be Lauri Markkanen. This will also be the theme of our next show, which is going to be dropping midday on Thursday. This coming out late Wednesday. Those three players on Thursday are going to be Isaac Okoro, Caris LeVert, and Lamar Stevens. But Evan, buddy, what's going on? How are you?
Not a whole lot, man. Just living the dream, as everyone says. I'm feeling a little burnt out like the Cavs are right now, but I'm hanging in there. How are you?
I'm doing good. I like the Cavs and probably fading a little bit right now energy-wise. The season has been a long one, and we're grinding through here. Evan, there's not a ton for me, I think, to say about Cavs Magic, right? Like, I think this is just a bad loss. I think you can look at the players that were out. I think you can look at all of these things and label those as context or excuses or whatever language you want to use. I don't have, like, a ton to say about that loss other than it's bad. And when you, like, lose a game in part because Isnas Bradikus gets an offensive rebound and scores late in this game, like, that's just tough. That's a tough pill to swallow as you're competing for playoff positioning late in the season. So I want to ask you, what defined this loss to you? And how much of it do you feel like we can attribute just to who is missing right now? Versus how much of is this a product of what isn't working and what didn't work in this game? It seemed like.
It's like a little bit of everything, I think. I think it's just the Cavs showing general fatigue from the season in general. I think having Darius Garland be a bit of a one-trick pony right now, just kind of being like, they give the ball to him and say, all right, Darius, go make something happen on offense. Like, that's just not viable, obviously, for long-term success. I think Caris LeVert's overall fit's just been rocky. I think that's been tough, too. Lauri Markkanen's been meshing a little bit lately, which is promising, but it's energy stuff. I think it's chemistry issues, and I also think it's the lack of overall just frontline defense that you get from Mobley and Allen. And then also, they play down to the Magic a little bit. Like, they put their foot on the gas to start the game and then just really lost all sense of urgency or just desire to keep going, and you watch them fall apart in spectacular fashion. And you and I were kind of texting back and forth during the game, and I'm just like, this is the worst loss of the season, without a doubt in my mind. Like, that's just where I'm at this point.
Yeah, I don't know if I have it as like the worst loss, but it's bad, especially within the circumstances of you kind of needed it. And if you were they're 8.5 point favorites, according to our friends at BetOnline. Like, the Magic have no reason to try and win games right now. The Cavs have a lot of reasons to try and win games right now. And it looked, if you had taken someone and, like, put them in front of this game and had them watch basketball for the first time, I think they would have looked at the Magic as the team that kind of had more to play for versus the Cavs having more to play for. Like, that's how it felt just kind of watching it. Evan, two quotes for me from the post game stood out to me. I'm going to just read them real quick. First is from Kevin Love, quote, this is in reference to Evan Mobley and Jared Allen being out, quote, those are two guys that are moving forward going to be competing for all defensive team in the NBA and could be in that first team, maybe even compete for defensive player of the year. So we definitely miss them and what they bring to the table. We hope that they're very close to being back. I don't know the answer to that, but they mean so much to us, to who we are as a team, our identity, our defensive presence. Larry Markkanen also said in reference to these two guys, quote, they can anchor the defense. They've been doing a great job of communicating, and we obviously miss them. But we don't know when they're going to come back, and we've got to figure it out. Without them as of now. I think we can play a lot better. Especially, even with those guys out, we could have done a lot better job tonight. I think both those things, as I think you said, are just true. I think that is just the reality of what the Cavs sort of are right now. We can look at this and say, yes, they are missing these two key pieces that the system in large part was built around, and things have kind of crumbled without them. At the same time, I think you can look at this and say, you know what, like, this is not the sharpest Cavs. Like, effort-wise, in terms of how I thought they looked from pillar to post, they looked better over the weekend against Philly and in the game before that than they did against Orlando. Like, full stop.
Yeah, no, they showed up to play Philly. They showed up to play Orlando the first time around. Granted, that's before Evan Mobley went down. That's before Larry Markkanen had that scare. Lamar Stevens had that scare. Like, the win was taken out of Cleveland sales against Orlando, but at the same time, it's just really tricky, I guess, to think about the logistics of it, because like you said, there were certain expectations, there's a certain precedent coming into this game that the Cavs just kind of knew, like, they had to go in, they had to win this game to stay in the thick of things, to even be in a conversation for the sixth seed. I think they would have been eliminated just naturally over the coming days if they play, especially against Brooklyn and Milwaukee, but they fell flat. And you can attribute to a lot of things, but it's just, J.B. Bickerstaff said there was no defensive presence, there was no defensive identity in this game. I think it's just been the new low point from this gradual decline for the Cavs post-All-Star break, and I just don't know when they're going to stop slipping, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you would hope that, you know, if these guys, one of them comes back Friday, if both of them can come back for the end of the year and for the play-in, like, maybe that's enough to get you to the playoffs. I think it feels as if the wind is, again, sort of out of the sails of where we are at. And look, I mean, you lost to the Orlando Magic. Like, this season is still a success with or without that loss, I think, just based on how far it feels like they've come and what I think the optimism should be for the future of this franchise right now. But
the long-term prospects of this team, yeah, you got to be really high on
short-term.
But short-term, it's suboptimal, as everybody points out, I say too often. This was a suboptimal outcome, and possibly...
Here's the thing. Evan, it's a good word, so you who cares? You use a good word. I don't care.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
This is what I got, you know, like, I respect our listeners, but just come on. Like, you host a podcast every day and not repeat yourself sometimes.
That's fair.
Just saying.
Long story short, I think this is disappointing. I jokingly went into our podcast Discord server and just hit the everyone tag and said, hey, y'all good? And a lot of people are like, oh, this sucks. I'm just like, yeah, it sucks, but it's easy to get fixated on the now, but you got to focus a little bit on the long term. That's what I've been saying for a while now. Like, I wonder how this Cavs team will look early next season or even this time next year to see how they kind of respond to the season now that the expectations are in place. And also, again, a lot of these Cavs players aren't used to playing meaningful basketball in March and April and are now going to have to gear up for the play-in tournament, which kind of chuckled to myself that the Cavs are selling play-in tournament tickets already, and assuming that they're hosting both games, I'm like, that's a little presumptuous. You guys could have slid to 10 still.
Look, capitalism, Evan, does not stop. That's the fact of life. All right, after the break, though, we're going to move into our hot or cold segments. Yeah, speaking of capitalism, we're going to go into the break. After the break, we're going to go hot, we're gonna say for hot or cold from based on what we've seen lately on some different players and in a little series here. First player up is Moses Brown, who's obviously played a big role for this team in without Jared Allen. We're going to dive into him after this. But Evan, first, I want you to tell everyone about our friends at Prize Picks.
Sure thing. All right, NBA fans, are you looking for daily fantasy options for the NBA? Then you need to try the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love it, and we know you'll love it too. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Prize Picks offers a variety of options. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from points scored to rebounds, even steals. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries as well. And Prize Picks doesn't just offer the NBA. They have options on the college basketball, college football, NFL, MLB, soccer, MMA, and so much more. So, for a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our listeners. If you sign up today, you'll get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point, but you must use code NBA like the league. That's right, this is an exclusive offer available for all Locked On Cavs fans. Sign up today and use the code NBA for $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Chris, lobbing it back to you.
All right. Also got to tell everyone about our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championship odds, podcasts, and reviews for all the different leagues this season. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. For instance, right now, you can go bet on the Lakers' next head coach, where David Fizdale is a minus 300 favorite, Quinn Snyder is plus 450, and Doc Rivers is plus 475.
LeBron's an option on there, too, if you go deeper on the betting line.
Waste of money, but yeah. Or if you're into the WNBA, you can bet on title odds with the Connecticut Sun, currently the favorite to win the title this year at plus 350. And the Las Vegas Aces, now coached by Becky Hammon, with Asia Wilson going to shoot some threes. That's really fun. They're next up at plus 375. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. That's BetOnline. That's where the game starts. All right, back here on Locked On Cavs. You're looking for a great second listen to the day, by the way. May I recommend Locked On Wins Basketball? They just revamped the lineup. Howard Magdal and the whole crew over there is doing great stuff. Go check them out. All right, Evan, let's go hot or cold on Moses Brown. Here are his just raw counting stats with the Cleveland Cavaliers in 11 games. 6.7 points per game, 6.0 rebounds, shooting 61.5% from the field. He's shooting 68% at the rim. And even though these numbers are very small, like they're not like massive double-double numbers out of what we've seen from Jared Allen at center, these are sort of career-best numbers for him in his 11 games. The defensive rating with Garland, LeVert, Okoro, Markin, and Brown, one of the starting lineups we've seen, the most common one we've seen of late, that has a defensive rating of 131.3, offensive rating of 112.7. Here's where I'm at. He's fine. I think his numbers look sort of good because Darius Garland's really good at maximizing big centers who can catch lobs and dunk. That is a skill Darius Garland has. He enhances that kind of player. His effort's been good. I think, you know, the defense has been, it's not Jared Allen, but he's been, I think, kind of what the best of what you could expect from him in a pinch here. I think going forward, this is a good young center that can be useful to you as a third center if he's going to be your backup in case of injury and foul trouble and things of that nature. He's fine if you can figure out a deal to keep him on a reasonable deal this summer. He's, you know, I think done the best you kind of hope for in these circumstances. So I'm a little bit like on the warmer side of this. He's like fine, but I don't think he's like blown anyone away.
I mean, I think if you look at the counting stats, he looks a lot better. I think you hit the head on the nail by saying that Darius Garland is just the next level of his game, is just kind of making the people around him better. Moses Brown being the biggest case study of that. But just in terms of
specifically, I think that kind of center is like something he makes just so much better.
Yeah, just pick and roll, easy lob threat, easy putbacks, good opportunities for that as well, just because some of the players Cleveland has. Can't miss. Sometimes Darius is heaving up shots just to keep the Cavs in the game and having not a reliable big man, but a big body. And that's kind of what Moses Brown is for me now. I think you're warmer on him than I am. I think utilizing him as a two-way big just to get you through the rest of the season is smart on the Cavs' part. I don't think there's an issue for me, at least. He's better than having Taco Fall on the roster. Like, no disrespect to Taco Fall, but I think just Moses Brown has a little bit more of athletic ability, but it's not much. But back to the counting stats, yeah, a lot of that's inflated by Darius Garland, but I think, again, we wouldn't be having this conversation if Jared Allen and Evan Mobley weren't out right now. He wouldn't even be playing for the Cavs. He would probably still be probably in the G League or something like that. Again, no disrespect to him, but like you said, if you bring him along, it's just a third big going forward, that's fine. But I watch him play and he doesn't pass the eye test for me, because he's just a body that you throw out there at other bigs just to rack up fouls and maybe kind of slow down and deter somebody physically if you want to impose him, a la like Kendrick Perkins in the playoffs for the Cavs. But that's all I just really see from him. I don't think he's really like a super reliable big, but he's also the only option the Cavs have, because you can't put Lauri Markkanen at the five for 30-plus minutes. You can't put Kevin Love in the same situation as well. Moses Brown is just kind of all you have right now in terms of true center depth, and you're just trying to make it work. Him and Ed Davis, of course, but that's what you're just trying to make it work.
Yeah, we will get to marketing because the numbers of him at the five are sort of funny. Brown, like I am hotter on him and warmer on him, just in the sense of like I think if he's going to be like your third center, you can develop him, and because he's 21, 22 years old, like this is still,
oh,
like,
no,
a
I
very
agree.
Young player.
I
like,
just think
yeah,
what you have but right it, now, I'm it, cold, but I could be warmed up if you don't have to ask him to play meaningful minutes. Like if he's your third or fourth big off the bench. That's great. That's perfect use of him. I just think asking him to start is a tall ask. Darius Garland's making him look a hell of a lot better than he actually is as a player. And that's just kind of where I'm at right now, like in the moment.
Yeah, like if he's like a spot starter for you next season, right? Like if you go into next year and like Jared misses a game because he tweaks his ankle and takes it off and you have to spot start him, like that's fine. That's fine.
Brother, I'm going to tell you something. The Cavs drafted a big man third overall in this last draft. He could start at the five. Yeah. You slide Markkanen at the four if he's still here, and then you start Caris LeVert
at the three. Okay, like either start him at the five or play him like 10 minutes off
the
bench.
Yes, that's
so
fine.
You're not
10 minutes is fine. That, or like I'm saying, yeah, like I was talking to a friend about this, like the Darius Garland example. If you rest Garland on a back-to-back against a bad team, you bring back Rondo as like your third point guard. That's when you play Rondo 5 to 10 minutes a night, because you supplant a lot of those big man minutes, but you need just a traditional five to maybe soak up some body minutes as well.
Gotta say, the Rondo, to just go back to the Magic game for a second, the Rondo, like, holding the ball and trying to throw that cross-court pass to Kevin Love that got picked off as a pick six. Well, I was just like, my brain in real time, I was like, don't do it. I know you want to do it. And then he did it, and it was bad.
I thought even Isaac Okoro had that pick six, but it was just too little too late.
Yeah.
So Adam Silver said that the league is going to find a way to eliminate take fouls immediately.
He said that?
He said
my guy
during the
Adam
the, owners meeting that
I saw what he said about the 82 game schedule and like guys needing to play more basically, and like so that's what I'd seen. I did not see the take fouls and take let's go.
Well, he said the play-in tournament's a permanent feature, and then he said somebody asked about take fouls. He's like, yeah, it's a real issue. We need to find a way to penalize teams for it, because it's killing the flow of the game. He wholeheartedly agreed with that.
Adam, it wouldn't be hard to get my cell phone
Chris
number.
Chris is jacked
your
right now.
Give me.
He's going to kick down his bedroom door and like scream at his wife. He's sleeping like, they're getting rid of take fouls!
I would not do that. I could go get like a nice pump right now and feel great about it. If there's one thing that is not great about Brown that I think is one of the things we've seen from him is that like he does have like a good block rate, like he's like blocking like about 3% of shots, which is like actually like solid enough.
When I watch him play, I'm like,
for some reason also cleaning the glass has him like listed as a wing, and like I just don't understand, like there's got to be like an error in the code, my guy. But he is fouling like guys like six per, like at a pretty high rate, like it's in the it's like last
he's playing
like 6.2%
year old at the center position probably.
Yeah, would. And he's like, whereas Jarrett like is very crafty at like using his length, and like Brown is sort of just like a force. And if you want, again, like if this is a guy that is like, he's on a two-way contract, the point of signing him to a two-way is not just to like keep him around for the rest of the season. You now have matching rights on him in the summer if you so choose to extend him a qualifying offer. If this is a guy that you look at, if you're the Cavs, and say, look, we are spending lots of money, we spent a high draft pick, and eventually we'll be spending lots of money for Evan Mobley, who's a big and will play some five for us. We're paying Jared Allen $20 million a year. We don't want to pay our third center, like, we don't want to invest actual resources in that division. It's not worth it. I would agree with that, right?
No.
And I think they have other needs they need to go address via, like, whether it's a draft pick or whether it's, like, free agents. Like, they have resources.
Wings and point
what
guards.
What resources they have,
wings
they
and
should.
Point
they
guards
should
is what the they, Cavs need to focus on this offseason.
Yes. They should spend them elsewhere. If Moses Brown is, like, your plan to be, like, your third string center, spot play minutes when you need him to, and you keep developing him behind the scenes, that to me is like adequate. And I think like he's shown enough where it's like, okay, like he also just like fits their profile of what they want right now, I think, from fives. I think that's part of it.
Yeah, but you don't have the novelty of Taco Fall being a mascot, though. That's the only shame.
I mean, probably not selling jerseys as much, but you know.
Third in the G League block leader, Taco Fall. Thank you very much.
Yes, he's been fun. All right, after the break, we're going to dive into one more player today. That's going to be Lowry Markkanen. But Evan, first, you're going to tell everyone about our friends at Rock Auto.
You're right, skirt, skirt. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible for your local chain's auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store. It's $216 at Rock Auto. And with how much a gas costs these days, geez, you might need to save some money on a fuel pump. So if you're interested, go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car, truck, minivan, vehicle, whatever. Right, Locked On, and they're How Did You Hear About Us box, and they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com.
All right, let's move on here. Let's talk about Lowry Markkanen. Evan, before I run through the numbers of Markkanen, I wanna ask you, are you broadly, based on what we've seen of Markkanen, specifically kind of since Jared Allen has gone down, specifically since we've seen him kind of have to take on a different role for this team, what have you thought of what we've seen from Lowry in that context?
You're seeing him play more of his natural position at the four, which I think you're seeing that's part of why he's having a big of scoring bump. You're also asking him more of him offensively as well versus what you got with Mobley and Allen kind of gobbling up all the shots that Darius Garland is providing to them. I'm indifferent on Lowry. I don't think he's a three long term, obviously. If you keep him as like a bench big, I don't know if that's tenable or feasible just with how much money you have committed to him. So it's just kind of murky because of the Mobley and Allen factor is the clear like established duo next to Garland. But I like what he provides in theory. I think the idea of Lowry Markkanen is still a really fascinating, captivating player. But you and I have always just had this problem. He is a wing who is 7 feet tall, and that's how he plays. But and the Cavs are trying to utilize him like that. But he has the God-given abilities of a big man where he has no lateral quickness, and he just gets torn apart on defense. And I've been seeing that quite a bit. Teams are hunting Lowry Markkanen on defense, on offense, when he's trying to defend them in isolation because he doesn't have that safety valve, or blanket, I should say, of Mobley and Allen kind of covering him up, and then Okoro and Stevens possibly next to him at times as well.
Yeah, I think specifically without Mobley, without Allen, we've seen a different kind of player. Defensively, it feels like that Lakers game kind of stands out as the one in a lot of ways because LeBron was so surgical in that game. But I think he's been picked on a lot more without cover. I think we're seeing him play some small ball five, which, like, in theory, should be, like, a useful use of him. And if you look at his frame, you look at his skill set, because here's the 7-footer that can shoot. Like, that that's, like, should be a useful look of Markkanen.
Because of his size.
Yeah, right. Right, but you can't really. And, like, if you look at the numbers so far, Garland, LeVert, Okoro, Stevens, Markkanen has played 70 possessions. It's outscoring teams by 1 point per 100 possessions. It's scoring 132.9 per 100 possessions and giving up 131.8 per 100 possessions. So it's been really good on offense and just as bad on defense, which is, like, a hard way to live. It doesn't feel like the way you would want. It doesn't feel like the way the Cavs have gotten to the season. And I think having different looks to go to is a good thing to develop. I don't know if it's an interesting thing that I think JB, it doesn't A, strike me as something he's totally been comfortable with throughout the season. And number two, it doesn't feel like, it just feels so out of place with what the rest of they've done this year in a way that, like, I actually don't hate the kind of zag on it, but it's like, it just feels so different. And, like, Markkanen as, like, he can't, we were talking about this during the Magic game over text, like, he has to basically just, like, play drop, and he has to sink back, but he can't sink back like Allen and cover all the space and sort of defend two guys at once. He's kind of getting picked on when you're playing him a drop, and you're not going to switch with him to early in the shot clock at the very least. Like, it's kind of complicated. Evan, you're hearing his numbers for the last 15 games. It's 15 because, A, that's as far as it. I wanted it to be 16, but NBA.com/stats only lets you do the last 15.
I'm going to eat ice cream while you tell me.
Yes. 33.6 minutes per game, 47.1% from the field, 39.2% from three, 6.2 rebounds. for the year, 31.1 minutes per game, 14.6 points per game, 44% from the field, 35.3% from three, 5.7 rebounds.
Not objectively terrible. But
it's interesting because like his 3-point numbers are up. He's scoring a little bit more. He's playing better offensively, and yet it feels like the defense has like regressed because it feels almost like he finally has found his stride somewhat offensively. And yet the defense is struggling because like the system that supported him all year is kind of not existent right now. Yep. Because of two certain players that are out.
That's exactly right. I think it's, again, Darius Garland really maximizing playing the big man, and also just Larry Markin playing his natural position at the four and kind of just getting more shots overall without Mobley and Allen on the floor. You're really seeing this offensive bump from him, and I think having an elite point guard like Garland just makes it a lot easier for him as well. I'm going to – I've – inferred this for a while. Chris knows this because I shared this with him pretty early. I don't think Lauri Markkanen finishes his contract in Cleveland. I think he's a trade asset for them. And you do wonder if maybe the Cavs try to use his contract because the last year isn't guaranteed. He agreed to that just to get out of Chicago. If the Cavs maybe package that, maybe they package him with Jetty Osman, maybe they package him with Isaac Okoro, who we'll talk about on tomorrow's episode, to go make a actual tangible upgrade at the wing position. Like, if there's somehow something there, or, like, if you go get, like, a DeJounte Murray and you bring Colin Sexton off the bench and then you pair Garland and Murray together and, like, you just absolutely grind people defensively with Murray as just, like, being your point of attack next to Okoro if you're able to keep him. I think Markkanen is playing well. Like you said, the defensive numbers have just kind of gone sideways without Mobley and Allen there, and I think that's just kind of what we've always known about him as a player, just because we have a lot of footage from his time in Chicago. We have a lot of footage from this year in Cleveland, and he's just not a good defensive player, and it is what it is at this point. And you have to kind of look at like what is his offensive potential. Well, you're kind of seeing a little bit more of it because you're asking him to be the second or third option in Cleveland's offense right now.
Yeah, it was like very telling when they were trying to get an easy bucket at the end of the Magic game, and they were saying, we need to run a quick action and get someone a shot. It was Darius Garland run a pick and pop with Lauri Markkanen. And like the shots weren't bad, and he actually shot well overall from that game.
That's a smart play call because you're playing to the strengths of your best personnel.
Yeah, yeah. So like I get what happened there. It's just a little bit tricky and a little bit suboptimal. So yeah, interesting stuff with Lowry. I think it's – I would like to – it's one of those things where I would like to. I'm slightly warmer just because I think the offense has been objectively better, but I also like the defense has been like this. I think I'm only saying that because I think the defense is sort of what I think it always was. We're just seeing it without like the cover that has sort of made it tenable throughout the year.
No, I agree with that. I think I'm more lukewarm on him because
it's fine.
I'm seeing some of the frustration Chicago fans might have had with him just overall. Like, I'm understanding that a lot more now that he's just kind of like the central focus. And once Mobley and Allen are back, hopefully they're back Friday against Brooklyn, it feels like it might be trending that way. Just, I don't know. It just seeing them both on the road trip kind of tells me, like, okay, they're gearing up to get back on the court in Orlando. But at the same time, if it's Lauri Markkanen out there again, you're just going to watch probably Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving take turns bullying him. So, and that's going to be not fun minutes.
Look, on that note, I want to end the show with some context of when we're recording this. We're recording this at 11:46 p.m. on Wednesday, April 6th. This is going to go up that evening. As we're recording this, it is halftime of Knicks Nets, a game that I assumed the Brooklyn Nets would win. They are down 67 to 50.
It's not 11:46 p.m. You said 11:46.
Did I say 11? Okay, it's 8:46.
Like, it's going 3 up 3 hours in the future right now.
Oh, always, bro.
The Nets are getting smoked. Dang,
Nets are getting smoked. And if you're looking at like the chance, like as we're looking at this year, they will be off on Thursday as other Cavs before these two teams play on Friday. Assuming they lose this game, they will be a game and a half back of the Cavs.
They're a game and a half back right now.
Oh, they'll be two full games back of the Cavs. This is why you're here. You keep me in line.
But they're also tied with Atlanta right now. So I think if they lost, Atlanta would jump to 8 and Brooklyn would drop to 9 and play Charlotte.
And if it's ended up lasting that way, you would much rather host the Atlanta Hawks than the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, host the Atlanta Hawks and punch your ticket to Boston. Or try to.
Yeah, and then, yeah. So yeah, that's where we're at. Okay, that's going to be it. We're going to be back for part two of this hot or cold series. Again, the players covered: Isaac Okoro, Caris LeVert, Lamar Stevens. And then Thursday show, that'll go up late on Thursday evening, Danny Cunningham's coming through. We're going to preview Cavs Nets, talk about expectations and where we're at with this Cavs team as we kind of set the stage for what is to come. But until next time, I'm Chris. That's Evan. Be well. And we'll talk to you here very shortly.